Hello, this is Pastor Stephen Anderson from Faith Forward Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. Today I want to talk about 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4, where the Bible reads, "Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do." And I want to talk about that phrase, endless genealogies. Why did God use the word endless to describe genealogies? Well, I traced my genealogy about 6 years ago, and I understood pretty quickly why the word endless is used. Let me just explain to you mathematically why it is impossible for you to figure out your complete family tree. It just wouldn't be humanly possible for any person to accomplish that in any amount of time. Let me just explain it to you as simply as I can. If you know something about exponents, this will be easier for you to understand. But let me just start out by saying that we all have two parents, but we have four grandparents and eight great-grandparents. So every time we go up one generation on our family tree, we double the number of ancestors that we have in that generation. Another way of expressing that would be to use exponents of the number two. In the first generation, with our parents, we have 2 to the first power. In the second generation, it'd be 2 squared. Third generation, 2 cubed. 2 to the fourth power, 2 to the fifth power, 2 to the sixth power. You could type those into a calculator to get the numbers that you're looking for. But it keeps doubling. So if I were to draw a family tree on a piece of paper, I would need a pretty large piece of paper to go back 4 generations, because in that fourth generation, I would have to have room for 16 names lined up across the top there. If I wanted to go back 5 generations, I would need a piece of paper that was twice as big, because I would need 32 names in that generation in order to have all of my ancestors. You'll hear people talk about tracing their genealogy back several hundred years. A lot of times that's just on one branch, though. In order to trace all branches, you would have to have a wide enough piece of paper to put all of those names in each generation. So if we were to go back 10 generations, we would have 1,024 names in that generation, because it would be 2 to the 10th power. Now, how long is a generation? Let's use the number 30 years. Most people will agree that a generation is about 25 to 30 years. I know that my mother was 30 years old when she had me. Her mom was about 30 when she had her. So 30 years is roughly a generation. So if we went back 300 years, therefore we'd be around the year 1700, then we're looking at 10 generations, or we would have 1,024 ancestors living at that time. Well, if we were to go back another 300 years to around the year 1400, now we've gone back 20 generations, and believe it or not, we would have over 1 million ancestors in that level. Just do the math. Keep doubling it. And if you go back 20 generations, about 600 years, then you would have over 1 million ancestors in that generation living then. If you were to go back 30 generations, or 900 years, this would put you around AD 1100, then you would have over 1 billion slots to fill. You'd need a really big piece of paper to draw that family tree, because you'd have over 1 billion places to put a name. Now, obviously, there were not even 1 billion people living in the world in AD 1100. You say, well, how can that be then, Pastor Anderson? Because there's going to be repetition of names. Because as I trace my genealogy, for example, once I got back to around 8, 9, 10 generations back, I noticed the same names starting to come up over and over again. For example, there was one lady that was actually my 10th great-grandmother, meaning 10 generations back, for 3 different reasons, because her name was repeated at 3 different points in the family tree. Why? Because of the fact that people marry their relatives. And I'm not saying they're marrying a close relative, like a sister or a cousin or a second cousin or even a third cousin, but people marry their 6th cousin, 7th cousin, 8th cousin, because those are such distant relations, they have no way of even knowing that they're related to that person. So as you go back, there is a lot of repetition, of course. But still, if you were to fill out a complete family tree, that's how many names would be at that level. I didn't realize this until I started making a family tree. But let's say we wanted to go back all the way to the time of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we were to go back to the first century AD, let's say we wanted to go back to when the temple was destroyed. Because when the temple was destroyed in AD 70, That's when the Jews were scattered into all nations. If we wanted to go back that far, we're looking at approximately 64 generations. And if we were to do the math of how many names there would be on our family tree at that level, 64 generations back, how many ancestors we would have in that generation, the number would be 18.44 quintillion. 18.44 quintillion. Now, of course, there were only 200 million people living in the world at that time. There's a lot of repetition by the time you get back to that level, of course. But nevertheless, if I were filling out a family tree all the way back to the time of the destruction of the temple, I would have to fill in 18.44 quintillion slots. And obviously, there would be a lot of repetition of names. Now, let's think about this. At the time that the temple was destroyed, there were 200 million people approximately living in the world. Now, let's just say that 7 million of those people were Jewish. And, you know, you could dispute that number. You could say it was less than that, more than that. But honestly, that number's not going to be very important in a moment. But let's just say that you have 7, 8 million people that are of Jewish descent out of 200 million people living in the world at that time. Well, think about this. Then that means you've got about a 1 in 27 chance that a person living in AD 70 is of Jewish descent. 1 in 27 chance. So let's say you were to play a lottery where you have a 1 in 27 chance of winning. You buy a ticket and there's a 1 in 27 chance that it comes up Jewish, okay? And the other 26 chances are a loser. You say, well, those aren't very good odds, Pastor Anderson, because you got 26 chances to lose and only one chance to win. Right, but let's say you're buying 18.44 quintillion lottery tickets. Let's say you buy 18.44 quintillion lottery tickets in a lottery where you have a 1 in 27 chance of winning. Do you think you're going to win? Obviously, it would be ridiculous to say that you're not going to win. So anyone who traces their genealogy back that far and fills in those 18.44 quintillion slots, which would obviously be impossible, but every slot, they have a 1 in 27 chance that they're going to put the name of a Jewish person. Now you say, well, wait a minute, Pastor Anderson. Someone who's living really far away from Palestine, their odds are going to be much lower than someone who's living near Palestine. Okay, granted, we say an average of 1 in 27. But let's say if you're living really far away, you have a 1 in 10,000 chance, a 1 in 20,000 chance. It doesn't matter what the chances are, because when you're buying 18.44 quintillion tickets, you are going to win on one of them. And you might say, well, but you might live in an area where there is no Jewish blood. But wait a minute, the Bible said that the Jews were scattered into all nations. So if the Jews are scattered into all nations, then that would mean that their blood, their DNA, has made it into all nationalities, and that if any human being living in 2014 were to theoretically be able to trace back their genealogy on all branches, we would all have a Jewish ancestor, all of us, okay? We would all be descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, some people more so than others. Because if you think about it, if you have a Jewish ancestor 20 generations back, that makes you 1/1,000,000th Jewish. If you have a Jewish ancestor 10 generations back, which, you know, by the way, when I did my family tree, I found a person with a Jewish name. I don't know if they were really Jewish or not, but I found a person with a Jewish name 10 generations back. So that makes me 1,000th Jewish. So every single person today descends from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. To some degree, because of the fact that the Jews have been scattered into all nations and have intermingled with all people. And the reason that that's significant is that people today think that the so-called Jews or the people living in the nation of Israel today are God's chosen people because of their descent from Abraham or because of their descent from Isaac and Jacob. But I have just mathematically demonstrated to you that every single person on this planet is descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So if that is what made you God's chosen people, then every person on the planet would be God's chosen people. The Palestinians today, who people say, hey, that's not their land, you know, they're not of the chosen people, they're not of Jacob. I guarantee you that every single Palestinian is descended from Jacob. Now, the only people that will argue with the math that I've just presented and the evidence that I've just presented are just people who don't understand math and don't understand science, because what I've explained to you is a fact. That's the way numbers work. That's the way exponents work. And you can feel free to check up on my math and you'll see that what I'm saying is the truth. Now, I don't think that it matters whether or not we are descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because the Bible is really clear that what makes us God's chosen people is the fact that we're in Christ. The Bible says, if you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promises. According to what I believe, descending from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is meaningless. What really matters is whether or not you're in Jesus Christ. But people will try to say, oh, but God has a plan for the physical nation of Israel and, you know, for the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He has all these promises that he has to keep to them. No, the Bible says in Galatians 3, unto Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He saith not seeds as of many, but to thy seed, singular, which is Christ. And the Bible says, if you're in Christ, you're Abraham's seed. You are heirs according to the promise. So we as Christians in the New Testament, we inherit the promises of Abraham. We have replaced the physical nation of Israel. That is why God has allowed the physical nation of Israel to be scattered into all nations for almost 2,000 years and to mingle and mix with the heathen to where they've completely lost their identity of what tribe they are. None of them can tell you what tribe they are except the ones who claim to be of Levi. But the other 11 tribes, no one can tell you what tribe they are. And even the ones who claim to be of Levi, they have no genealogy to back that up. It's just tradition that, well, my parents told me I'm of Levi. But no one can tell you I'm of Reuben, I'm of Gad, I'm of Issachar, I'm of Zebulun. They've been mingled into all nations. They've mixed with the Gentiles. They no longer have any kind of a distinction as a nation. The only thing that brings them together and unites them as a people is their false religion. Their religion where they worship a false goddess called Shekinah, or where they worship the serpent and Leviathan, not worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. So the only thing that makes them Jewish today is their religion. And it's a false religion. It's a Jesus Christ rejecting religion. So why would being a member of a false Jesus Christ rejecting religion make you God's chosen people? Or why would being a descendant of people who followed a Christ rejecting religion make you one of God's chosen people? It just doesn't make any sense. The people living over in Israel today don't descend from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob any more than the rest of us. I mean, we all do to some extent. But the people living in Israel today are of a mixed stock of European descent, Middle Eastern descent. And you know what? Why don't we just get back to what the New Testament taught, which is that we should just avoid genealogies because it doesn't really matter whether we're Jewish or Gentile. We're all one in Christ Jesus. If we believe in Jesus Christ, we're the elect. We're the chosen people. If we reject the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not his people. So it's bizarre to claim that the people over in the Middle East today who reject Jesus and call themselves Jews, it's bizarre to say that they're God's chosen people just because they descend from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because guess what? We all do, as I just proved mathematically. And you say, well, but they descend from him more. But they're not purely of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're mixed, just like I'm mixed, just like you're mixed. You know, I went to a laboratory and got my DNA tested. My parents got their DNA tested. And I'm part black, part Asian, part Indian, Hispanic, white. We're all mixed. This idea of pure races and separate nationalities, in the day that we live in, 2014, it's become so mixed over all the centuries and generations that it truly is meaningless. You know, I'm an American. I mean, that's really the only nationality that I have. I was born in America. I'm an American. But that doesn't make me God's chosen people. It's my faith in Jesus that makes me one of God's chosen people. And being born over in a country called Israel doesn't make you one of God's chosen people either. Just because you're one of the Polish people that moved there in 1947-48, who's probably no more Jewish than I am or than any other white person or black person or whoever in the world, that doesn't make you God's chosen people. You got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be one of God's chosen people.